Welcome, friends. James Corbett here, CorbettReport.com. Today is the 22nd of December, 2015, so just about to turn into Christmas. But before we take a Christmas-New Year break at the Corbett Report, I thought it would be high time to get on someone that a lot of people have been asking for in light of recent events. Of course, that is Sybelle Edmonds, founder and editor of BoilingFrogsPost.com, to talk about what's going on with Turkey lately. And I think if you've been watching the news at all, you'll have noticed a narrative emerging about Turkey and its relation to Syria and ISIS and its war, brewing Cold War with Russia, its internal battles with the Kurdish element in Turkey, the jailing of journalists and other things getting a lot of attention right now. There's a lot of brouhaha going around about Turkey, and obviously this is something that we've covered with Sybelle on this program before in the past. So in order to set the table for today's conversation, I would invite you to go back and listen or re-listen to a conversation that we had a year and a half ago. Sybelle Edmonds explains Erdogan's fall from grace, where we talk about the CIA's reverse engineering of Erdogan from a golden boy serviceable puppet to the mouthpiece establishment back even 4 or 5 years ago, suddenly becoming the pariah of the international politics in the recent months. And it's interesting to note that change, and it's something that I noted in a recent editorial called "Is Erdogan Being Set Up for a NATO-Backed Coup?" where I took a look at this, the media coverage that has taken place as of late, and found what I think is a disturbing trend towards vilification of Erdogan across the entire board. The alternative media, the mainstream media, U.S. media, Russian media, U.S. officials, Russian officials, everyone seems to be ganging up on Erdogan right now. And I suppose we should preface this conversation by saying there are no good guys in international geopolitics, and we are not defending any particular bad guy, but it does seem strange that this is the exact point at which all different forms of analysis are converging, and there's no one that seems to be taking a step back to look at the bigger picture and see if something is being set up right now. So with all that being said, and with all of that background being in the show notes for this conversation, so you can go and research more about that for yourself, let's bring Sybelle onto the program. Sybelle, thank you very much for joining us today. And first of all, let me just ask if it is your assessment as well that we are seeing a kind of strange convergence of a lot of different media narratives on this singular point of Erdogan is the pariah on the international stage right now.
Absolutely. 100% with you on that. It's to a point of being surreal and being so many-sided. As you can see, Turkey has been so isolated because with what's going on between Turkey and Iran, because that relationship has cooled significantly since the beginning of this conflict with Syria, which started by NATO-US operations in 2011, and we covered that. Turkey and Syria, Turkey and Iran, and now, of course, latest Turkey and Russia, and the relationship started really getting frosty, as you know, in 2012, 2013 with the United States and NATO because of Fethullah Gulen and the whole CIA operation and the rift between Erdogan and Gulen, and the Gezi protest that you were covering, and we talked about all that. And I said it's basically time for him to go. But the biggest obstacle the U.S. has been facing has been the popularity of Erdogan up until recently, about a year, year and a half ago in Turkey, as a preventive mechanism. Well, that obstacle we see that has been removed to a certain extent domestically in Turkey. But with international escalation, we are seeing this incredibly well-designed and almost unanimous, as you said, unanimous coverage of vilify Erdogan.
Now let's be clear about why this is such an important move by setting up the historical context for this. I mean, is what Erdogan is doing right now objectively any worse than what has been going on in Turkey for decades under other leadership?
Absolutely not. And I'm giving a definitive answer here, 100% answer, because I have lived under so many different administrations in Turkey. So what you had in Turkey since 1980, the United States, NATO, CIA, they massaged and directed Turkish military to for a coup. And we had a 1981 coup in Turkey. And we had a military regime, which was installed by the United States, okay? And this kind of continued till 1986, 1987. Then puppets were installed as the supposed elected, well, elected government, the candidates that were actually forced upon people. And if you look at these people who became prime ministers since 1986, you will see what connects them. A, all of them almost had citizenship in the United States. One or two of them were high-level people in IMF. These are the Turkish people who became prime minister. Then we had this despicable woman, Tansu Çiller. Okay, she became the prime minister. Well, she left the country. She left Turkey, came to the United States because her husband swindled the public. He had a bank, so he got hundreds of millions of dollars, left the bank bankrupt, okay? Very similar to our situation that we experienced here. They came to the United States. She went to Harvard University. They were given citizenship while they were most wanted in, actually, that's the husband, in Turkey. And lo and behold, US, CIA, after grooming this woman, they brought both of them back to Turkey. All the charges were dropped against the husband, and she became prime minister, okay? And as far as people talking about the treatment of journalism, I am not defending Erdogan. You know, his track record is awful. I'm not defending him in any way. However, during these other prime ministers, the puppets installed, the U.S. puppets installed in Turkey, between 1980 and 2000, we had thousands of reporters disappearing, being tortured, mass jailing of authors and journalists, even poets, okay? So if you were to put it in these relative terms, Erdogan is mild compared to what those people did. I'm saying what Erdogan is doing in terms of journalism and the press is terrible. But his predecessors, they were 1,000 times worse. And there was no coverage in the United States about the atrocities that were being committed in Turkey. Torture, human rights abuses, the stuff that was happening with these Kurdish villages. I mean, they were burning down. It's as close to genocide that as it can get. No coverage. We wanted to sell weapons, and if we ended up acknowledging these atrocities, then Congress would have put in place the embargo and saying sanction, and you're not going to send any weapons. We didn't want to have that. Plus, we were training both the military and Turkish MIT to do what they were doing. In 1980s, it was to counter Russia, Soviet Union. And after that, it was getting into Operation B Gladio. So again, you are not reading any of those. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people in general of what Turkey had before. And put it in relative term what you see with Erdogan. And if you were to do that, you would see, even with the horrible deeds that he is committing, it's nothing compared to his predecessors. And we had no such coverage in Turkey. I mean, in the United States, in the United Kingdom, because those were the NATO-US puppets installed there. We actually, through coup and installation, we put those people in place. With Erdogan, Erdogan's party, they won elections, okay, fair and square in 1997, okay? People voted majority for Erdogan and his party, AKP. Within 2 weeks, military stepped in and said, the vote, that doesn't count because we don't like these guys. Well, Turkish military, they don't take a piss without getting permission from the United States and NATO. So it was the United States, NATO saying, we don't want this guy. So the rift actually not wanting Erdogan had been in place even before he was elected the second time since 1997.
Well, as always, the bright spotlight of media outrage and moral shock is always selectively focused, and here is no exception to that rule. But I guess the question then is, who is pulling these strings at this time? Is it NATO, CIA? Is it Israel? Is it elements within Turkey? Is it the Kurds? Is it Russia? Who's really pulling the strings, and why now?
I have to say all of the above, because currently Erdogan and the current administration, they are in this many-fronted wars, okay? I mean, we talked about, I said, Russia with Iran relationship cooling, with the United States, NATO. Well, we have covered the issue of Fethullah Gulen. Well, Fethullah Gulen's net worth was $22 billion. And as we know, Erdogan actually, through the court there, the Supreme Court, they actually issued this warrant saying, we want this guy returned to Turkey. And they filed it with the United States government. So we are looking at this $22 billion worth guy who is in the United States. He's wanted in Turkey. He works for the CIA. Do you know what kind of lobby this guy has? There has been some coverage here and there on Fethullah Gulen. Just take a look at the number of senators and congresswomen and congressmen he has pocketed, you know, with direct and indirect bribery. So you get a lot of media coverage that is completely guided, directed by Gulen, who works for the CIA. And of course, you have NATO. And now, of course, Russia has added its voice and has entered. So actually, Russia is siding with these groups, okay, indirectly. So it is many-fronted. And the people you're seeing here, again, I know I have said this before in your program, Kurds, as always, are being used. And they are going to be disposed of all the time. This scenario, this story, or different versions of the same story, has come into play so many times in Turkish politics. It's Turkish both domestic politics and international politics. And I know they feel like right now they have some backing, but they are just a bargaining chip. And they have always been used as bargaining chip and later quashed and destroyed. So some of these figures you see going to Russia and being, you know, pat on the back and praises that are being sung here in the United States, in New York Times, etc., they are temporary. As you know, just like KLA and all other organizations, today they would do it. 6 months later, they're going to be listed as terrorist organization by the State Department. So it's going to be short-lived for them. Right now, they are just serving the function of a bargaining chip.
All right. Well, let me then push back a little bit on this narrative and say that Erdogan is clearly involved in some manner in what's been going on in Syria. Turkey has been a staging ground and base of operations for Syrian opposition, i.e. terrorists. It has been a smuggling route for funds, for arms, for fighters. It has been a smuggling route out of Syria through Turkey for oil, and Erdogan's family members are implicated in that in, I think, a credible way. And Erdogan himself is linked to alleged terrorist financier Yasin al-Qadi, who we've talked about before, and other things of this sort. I mean, there's clearly some fundamental corruption going on. And on top of that, I haven't heard Erdogan kicking back against these types of elements within, you know, the military or the government that are threatening against him. I maybe that is going on, but why does this not implicate Erdogan himself in what's going on in Syria, for example?
For this, we have to go back to 2011 when no one was covering Syria and we broke the story of Turkey, NATO, US training what the people we call ISIS today in Turkey, in U.S. Air Force Base in Incirlik, in Adana, on the border. So the stuff that you just listed Erdogan doing up until, I would say, 2014, mid-2014, was under direct order by the United States and the CIA that he was doing. And he was doing it under direct order from NATO. So in terms of training ISIS, which was actually NATO troops and U.S. troops actually doing the training in the base, all those were completely done under direct order by the United States and together jointly with the United States. So what happened was, this is the United States, they being the United States, they wanted to have a quick Libya scenario with Syria, okay? It didn't happen. We were covering it in 2011. What happened? We ended up with this situation between Ukraine and Russia, because then the United States, the CIA, NATO, they had to put the Syria and the whole goal objectives with Syria on the back burner and say, just sit here and simmer. we're going to go and get busy with Ukraine. We have another front, okay? We don't want to fight in many fronted wars. So the focus shifted to Ukraine. Now, when this happened, until this point, everything was being directly ordered to Turkey, Erdogan, and they were implementing it. Well, Turkey, Erdogan found itself in this situation saying, you told us to do this. Now we have 500,000, by then it was 500,000, now it's close to 2 million refugees coming in. Plus, we have basically declared war against Assad. This has wrecked our relationship with Iran and decreased commerce, okay? So they ended up singularly continuing what the United States NATO started while they were busy, United States, doing the Ukraine front. And then, of course, a lot of things, the whole mechanism changed when they went back, this is the United States, back to, let's go back to the Syria issue, and Russia playing its part. And then Turkey, in a way, felt, and this is Erdogan, really betrayed it. It's like, you basically dug our graves. You started this. And after that, it was not stoppable. I mean, what are you going to do? You already have 1 million refugees. You're at war, basically, with Syria. So we're going to go ahead and do it our way. And that's what we have been seeing in the past 1 year. And with the entire scenario now has, of course, a new active participant, which happens to be Russia and Putin.
Yes, and that brings in another interesting aspect of all of this, because as we talked about with the media coverage, it shouldn't be surprising that the mainstream establishment mouthpiece media would be on board with whatever the overall agenda and narrative is, but it is somewhat surprising that the alternative media seems to be in lockstep with that same agenda at this moment, unquestioningly swallowing this change in narrative and suddenly starting to demonize Erdogan, who they probably couldn't, well, probably still can't even pronounce, let alone understand who he is, let alone understand the history of this. So it's strange that this is happening. Let's talk about
it's the parroting, you know, the whole thing, you know, with Hitler, you just repeat the same thing enough time, and that becomes reality, that becomes fact. A lot of things we are hearing, a lot of things we are reading, some of them are not true, some of them are true, but the truth has to be placed within the context, within the history, and it needs to be viewed through different angles. That's when you really get into the pure aspect, pure truth part of it, because what we are getting is this muddied up parroting repeated. I mean, I just read, and I sent it to you, the link written by Phil Giraldi, former CIA officer for UNZ, and I was like, I'm not saying what he was narrating there was not true, but it's missing context. It's missing so many other directly relevant ingredients, which makes it, I would say, not accurate, because it is so one-sided and it is so naked without all the other elements that are present that make me shake my head, because Phil Giraldi, he was stationed in Turkey when he was working for the CIA. He knows all these elements, and he seems to be basically parroting exactly the same line as everyone else. I mean, I don't care whether it's the left or the right, Mother Jones or even Lou Rockwell's side. It's insane how uniformed it has become.
That's right. And a lot of that seems to me to be, of course, not siding with the US, NATO, CIA part, at least openly, but really siding with Russia in all of this. What do you make of the Russia worship that's going on in a lot of sectors of the alt media right now?
You know, we briefly talked about this innate need in most people, majority of hero seeking, you know. You want to have a leader, you want to have a hero. And if you can't find one, you go create one. You know, it came up when we were talking, you and I, about Grinwald and Snowden, and suddenly this was going to cause revolution, remember? And all the things that were going to change, this was it. This was what people were waiting for. You are seeing it today. In the past, especially year or so, with Russia and Putin. And you know how we always talk about CNN's coverage in 2003, 2004 of Iraq war, you know, shock and awe? I mean, you watch Russian media, especially RT. I would say they are playing the shock and awe three times worse than CNN did. And it's like, we dropped 38 bombs. It's like, yeah. And then they were the precise, you know. I marvel. I mean, the parallel between U.S. mainstream media warmongering, you know, MIC-loving U.S. mainstream media, and what we see today with RT, it's uncanny. And it's nauseating. It's completely nauseating every single time I get
invitation. But the very people who reject that from CNN and those sources embrace it wholeheartedly on the Russian side.
Do you know why? Of course it's obvious. Because when it involved U.S. and U.S. stuff, it was sticking it to the United States. See, when you go to court, let's say you have a murder case or whatever, one of the things that comes into play is the intent. Did you have the criminal intent, or was it like, you know, was it done without intending to do the harm? Well, with the intention of RT was, sure, they did have excellent coverage on U.S. civil liberties, which lacks what civil liberties, and all these cases, warmongering the United States, they shined, they were great, they were not doing it because they care about the people's welfare in the United States and their liberties. They did it because they wanted to F-rush the United States, and they wanted to stick it to the United States. That was their intention, and some positive externalities came out of that. Now, they have their own interests, which is they are the mouthpiece of Putin, and everything is dictated from the above. That publication doesn't have 1% freedom, because I have been talking with certain U.S. reporters and correspondents, and they are specifically told, as long as you do not criticize Russia or Putin, okay? This actually goes beyond and above what our mainstream media is doing here. It's disgusting. So under these circumstances, with that level of hypocrisy, it's mind-boggling. We have this major, I mean, it's a big percentage of people, intellectuals who write, who are worshiping Putin. They are worshiping RT, and they really treat Putin as Messiah. I mean, he's a scumbag with hundreds of millions of dollars. I know it. I know it firsthand. In the banks, in the Greek side of Cyprus, island of Cyprus, last summer, when I was traveling in the region, you have no idea how many yachts I saw. We're looking at yachts that are $40 million, $50 million. These are all Russian oligarchs who have high position within Russian government. I mean, they have these yachts that make the yachts of Saudis look pale. Okay? There's no coverage of any
no,
of
No, but
stuff.
Sabel Putin is fighting the oligarchs. Don't you understand?
Oh, he's the people's president. And in fact, I just saw some dummy is writing about how Putin is celebrating whatever holidays, New Year's, among the people in some village in Russia, because he's the common man's man. And I'm disgusted. I mean, I am disgusted, but I'm also frustrated, because I mean, I'm looking at people who were, you know, Reagan's he was assistant secretary during Reagan, and I respect him. He writes magnificent articles, Paul Craig Roberts. And I've been so disappointed. I haven't been able to publish any of his latest articles, because every time I go there, he's like, it's Messiah Putin and the great Russian government and the greatest Russia. I mean, this guy was serving during Cold War, during Reagan administration, and now suddenly he even is engaged in Russia worship. And all I have to say is, it's been very hard to find material to republish at Boiling Frogs Post, because I cannot do it, because it won't be a conscientious act. And I don't like hypocrisy, James. As you know, I'm allergic to hypocrisy. RT did some great work, not because their intentions were good, because they like to give it and stick it to the U.S. every chance they get. And now their warmongering shock and awe Broadway that they have in there, from the titles of their articles to the coverage, it's nauseating. And I'm boycotting it. I'm not going. I'm not being a guest. I don't want to have anything to do with these Russian government
and,
owned media.
And let me put that on record as well. I can say that I was invited many, many, many times to talk on RT. I was never once told what to say or what not to say, which is why I agreed to participate in it in the same way I'd participate in live interviews on CNN or anywhere else that was willing to host me. But at this point, yes, I agree. I have no interest in being on RT and being a mouthpiece for that propaganda that it's turned into. So I have to echo your sentiments there and your frustration with the way that it's that narrative has been wholeheartedly embraced by much of the alt media, or supposedly alt media anyway. I guess that leaves us with the only question is, so what is next? What is developing from this? Is it inevitable that Erdogan is being targeted here and that he's going to go down? And if so, how does that play out?
Because they finally got to the point where they divided the country so much internally, and the opposition, so he does not enjoy what he enjoyed 2-3 years ago. He still had the majority support. That support has been diminished, is far below 50% now, and he's going to be replaced with someone much worse. I can guarantee you that, because history repeats itself in these countries, with someone like his predecessors. And I don't know if it's going to be a direct military coup, but the CHP, CHP party that are secularists, they, behind the scenes, some of the powerful factions within CHP, they have formed alliance with Gulen movement, which is mind-boggling. I'm talking about the most secularist party forming alliance with the mullah, who is absolutely advocating for fundamentalism, Fethullah Gulen. I never thought I would see such day that these two will force join forces, and so you're gonna see something like that. And but things are gonna get worse. We're gonna have more terror events in Turkey. It's going to happen, and it's gonna come from many sides. There's gonna be the Kurdish sides, then of course all the stuff that they are blaming on ISIS. It's going to be messier, but he's going, and this is not any particular good news for the Turkish people. Economy is really going to sink in Turkey. It's already sinking, but it's really gonna sink. And I'm telling you, and I'm mark my word here, they are going to end up with someone much worse than Erdogan. I'm not defending Erdogan. Is he involved, he and his son, in some corruption? Of course, I don't doubt that. Did they obey the United States order in creating ISIS? Okay, arming ISIS? This was, where do you think they got the arms? I mean, everything that goes there is from the NATO, from the United States. Yes, they did, but it's not going to be, things are not going to get better for Turkey, unfortunately.
Yes, and when the replacement falls in line with what the U.S. and NATO are asking them to do, imagine all of that spotlight of media outrage is suddenly not going to be shone on that new administration, I imagine. Before we let you go, one other thing that I think we should touch on, because we've talked about the media coverage being nearly unanimous, but there is an interesting blip on that radar that I would like to get your take on. USA Today, back in October, had a report on the Gulen movement secretly funding 200 trips for U.S. lawmakers and staff, and then in November followed up with more evidence of hundreds of thousands of dollars of improper campaign donations coming from the Gulen movement. Why on earth is USA Today covering this, and what do you make of that?
It is interesting. I was surprised, really surprised, when I saw that article. But I have to give the credit to a pretty strong and determined movements. It started with these teachers who started blowing the whistle. These are American teachers, because Fethullah Gulen, Mullah Gulen, also has the biggest charter school chain in the United States. And he's been bringing these teachers from Turkey, etc. But this group, they have been doing great job, and they don't give up. I mean, I know, because I'm on their email list, so they have been bombarding reporters, trying to educate reporters, because most of them is like, who's Gulen? We don't know anything about Gulen. And unfortunately, nothing really came out of that, because, I mean, the name of these U.S. representatives, I mean, these people should be jailed for treason, okay? Foreign bribery, given to congressional U.S. representatives, okay? Of course, we know about Hastert and all the stuff, but at least you would think when it gets into the mainstream media, front page of USA Today, something would take place, right? Even if it's for the sake of appearances, they don't even bother with that, James. It's like, yeah, so what? Now it's kosher, you know? So what? I mean, they're really... The level of brainwash, the level of boiling the water and to have the frog sit in it and not jump has reached that really steaming boiling temperature. The readership, in terms of Americans, we haven't really heard much reaction from them. Nothing happened in Congress. They didn't even go about issuing a statement condemning the article or denying it. They are basically looking Americans in the eye and they are saying, yeah, so what? What are you going to do? Because you have had thousands of cases like this, you know, thousands. You haven't done anything. In fact, let's just make it official. That's what we do. What are you going to do? And the learned helplessness that you cover frequently is exactly that. Because you would go and ask any Americans, anybody, they will say, it's disgusting. But as far as why don't we do something about it, they will say, well, there's nothing I can do. It's the highest level learned helplessness. And without breaking that, things are just going to get much worse. And I don't know, you and I are going to be doing the same thing, talk about apathy, talk about learned helplessness. And I don't know how we're going to counter this.
On a more potentially positive note, we won't leave things there. I know that people are looking for your take on these types of issues as they're developing, but there hasn't been a lot of activity from yourself at BoilingFrogsPost.com recently because you have been exceptionally busy with what is coming next. Is there anything you'd like to let the audience know before we go?
Sure. Well, we had that round table with you and Peter, and that I think was the catalyst because the next day after we recorded and you published the round table, I declared that I am going to, together with a team of investigative journalists and producers and editorial cartoonists, etc., take Boiling Frogs Pose to not next level, but 4 or 5 level higher. I want to have full-time investigative journalists, full-time producers, because a lot of people, they're trying to juggle their daytime jobs, so there's only so much they can do. And with that, I have been working nonstop from getting a new domain name to creating a new logo to preparing a video that's going to be out there. I would say after the New Year's, around first, second week in January, I'm going to announce the new name and the mission statement and the people who are our first-tier partners and associates. And the date that we're going to launch a major, because it's triple major. It's major. Kickstarter, crowdfunding, and we're going to have a physical presence as well because I want to set up a studio, recording studio for video, etc. It sounds, and it is, highly ambitious, but the model that I'm thinking of, and I have been working on it full-time, doesn't exist. You know, we have the singular models, and there are some really good ones, really good ones. And then we have these jerks who are getting either corporate, mega corporation advertisement money, or they are getting the Dynasty, Rockefellers, and Soros, and all these people. Each one of them gets $1.5-2 million a year. It's none of those models work. And this is going to be something that doesn't exist. And I have been looking, I have been searching. And we're going to need people. It's going to be people-powered media. I've been looking at these pie charts, and you and I are going to cover this once we announce this, but of even the ones that are using public, their pie charts, public is not even 20% of their funding. It's the dynasty families and the mega corporations, Lockheed Martin, et cetera, et cetera. And actually, I think it's the false pretenses to go and say, you're national public radio, screw that, you're not public. 70% of your funds are coming from the 1%, so shut up and don't use the word public. So we're going to have some exciting announcement. I've been exhausted. This is after the Supreme Court 2006, I kind of started leading quieter life and I was pretty happy with that. Really, it was kind of, No, not with the results, but it after all the wars and all the conflicts and the court cases and the fights and everything. So this is the first time in years I have been working this hard and under high stress level in a good way, positive stress, because the stress can become drive. And I usually get energy from stress. I don't try not to let it drag me down. I try to use it as a fuel to move forward. And I think the announcement is going to come from you and I, because I just do this quick thing and you can wrap it up. I have been talking with people to do this promo video that they need a studio recording so that it's high quality, and I just freeze. I'm like, I have the chemistry. I can do it with James and I can't do it with anyone else. So I'm even working on that. So it's going to be very exciting.
Well, no one is looking forward to it more than me, but I hope other people are looking forward to it as well. We'll leave it there for now, a positive note, something to look forward to in the future. Sibel Edmonds, of course, in the meantime, boilingfrogspost.com is the place for more information on this. And of course, the show notes will have links to all of the articles and other things that we've mentioned today. Sibel, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, James.